Now you got the message.
After two?
Good evening, everybody. It happens to be Monday, the 17th of November, 2025, and we're going to call the meeting of the San Carlos Estates Water Control District Board. To order, and to begin with, we have roll call. So Chairman Jim Bradford, Vice Chair Jennifer Finazzo, Supervisor James Gilchrist, Engineer Ron Edenfield, Attorney Richard Pringle, Manager Superintendent of Operations John Solucci, Secretary Chanel Cruz, and visitors. I see we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and we have another one coming in. Glad to see you. Jason, correct?
Yes, Jason.
All right. And that's your mother?
Yes, Lori.
Glad to see you all this evening. Okay, we're going to have the invocation and the Pledge Allegiance to the flag. John, would you do the pledge, please? And Pastor Riley, invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please stay standing.
Father God, we just thank you for this day that you've given us and this wonderful place that we have to live. I thank you, Lord, that your presence will be here and keep things in a decent order. And I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that will be shown and decisions that will be made will be according to the way that you would have it to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I just want to, this was Veterans Week this week, and I just wanted to thank all of our veterans for serving, and that's it. Okay, get started here. Engineer's report.
Thank you, sir. Since the last meeting, we have still have 36 applications still under various levels of review. We have received one new permit, one new application. Did not close out any permits, no final inspections in the last period, and we conducted some 12 odd inspections. The manager also conducted several during that period as well. Additionally, we added a new contractor to our approved contractor list, so we'd like to welcome DNS Land Management, Douglas over there in his fold. Welcome to the team. So look forward to working with you on that.
Does that mean he can do culvert pipes?
He can do culvert pipes.
All right.
He is authorized to work within the district right of way.
Okay. So,
we also, during the period, assisted the manager with updating some specifications for the strike lane. We call it strike lane. It actually includes some of the side streets as well, particularly Stillwell. The striping project, and also on the Prince project, I believe he'll be discussing bids and such that he's received on that this evening in his report. We have discussed him, and we do support his recommendations. We've also, during the period, communicated with the city of Bonita Springs regarding the ongoing attempts to get an interlocal agreement. It's my understanding it's in the city attorney's lap, and we've been working to move that from that point on out to where we can get that signed and move forward with it. We investigated a complaint that was filed by one of the adjacent developments. A resident over in Bonita Isles had contacted the manager regarding some concerns over the water levels in the canal during this past summer. We investigated it. There was no cause for alarm. The canals were working as they were supposed to. I think you may have been a new resident, not real familiar with Southwest Florida. Nonetheless, there were no issues there that were causing any conditions to be out of the ordinary. We did meet with contractors on a canal vegetation control program. We'll be taking that out to bid here soon. what we've reached out.
Is that me or you?
That had to be you.
It had to be me. It's always the engineer's fault. We have reached a point where we need to do a fairly aggressive cleaning. We've got some cattails that have become well established, as well as the spatter dock is getting fairly dense, the water lilies. They don't concern me as much as the others, but some of the cattail stands are getting to the point where they will be problematic, so we want to get those taken care of this dry season. So we'll be looking for that in the near future, the next couple of board meetings. We assisted the district manager on various other efforts, but also on the last item I have is we're preparing to get into conversations with FGCU on the actual final contract to formalize our relationship for water quality monitoring going forward. It's come to my understanding that FGCU has a policy of adding a 45% administrative fee onto their whatever contracts their professors bring to them. They add a 45% fee to that for administrative purposes. It's also come to my attention that if the parties that are working with FGCU, which would be us in this case, the vendor, if we have a policy in place prior to us beginning our contract discussions that limits that administrative fee to about 10%, then they will limit their charge to 10%. So I'm asking that if we could tonight get a policy together for the chairman's signature that would limit the administrative fee, our willingness to pay more than 10% in an administrative fee to FGCU in that agreement. If we could get that established, then I believe I can bring a contract back to you at the next board meeting.
Okay.
And that concludes our report.
Thank you very much. Manager's report.
As the engineer said, I inspected three driveways specifically on rough construction. Met with an arborist to review the tree and plant life that could be removed and non-toxic chemical spraying program to control future growth. Met with the engineer and a company that specializes in, as the engineer talked about, duckweed and in particular the invasive species. And this particular company does all the work up in Cape Coral and some other areas and canals, and actually has a floating bulldozer. It goes in the canal and it floats, and it can move major pieces of the invasive species, probably in a very cost-effective manner. Then they need to take that material, put it up on the side of the bank, let it dry out a little bit, and then they'll have to haul it away. But it's a lot faster in the end and more effective than just hand whacking with a blade in there. So we're investigating that as well. Some people may have seen on some of the social media platforms next door, we've had several gate crashers in the gate. Unfortunately, I can't capture them because one was a golf cart with no license plate, and the other one was somebody sat in a Mercedes-Benz SUV on the outside waiting till a landowner went through, and then they were sitting across the street, and as soon as the gate went up, they must have gone 50 miles an hour and 500 feet to try to get through the gate. Of course, they didn't make it, and they smacked the arms off. Unfortunately, people keep doing this. We're going to end up have to get new gears and motors again because they're really racking the gates. The third person that crashed the gate, we're in discussions right now, was Lee County School District, a bus. So there was an accident on, I guess, Shangri-La about 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, October 30th. And the school bus was following all the traffic. Well, some of the people who were coming through had gate fobs. You could see in the cameras, they're clicking the gate and they're getting open up. Well, the bus just kept driving right through and smacked the gate open. So, of course, I have the bus number and everything else, call Lee County Transportation. They have it in with their insurance company and they're talking to us. And I mean, a video is worth 1,000 words. They're like, yeah, the person's guilty. You know, what can we say? So maybe we'll get 1 out of 3.
Just a question for you while we've got everybody here. On that SUV, it was a black Mercedes.
The
paint on the hood was fading off of it, and it had a luggage rack like a painter might use or a carpenter might use on the roof of it. So it was probably a worker's car of some sort. And if he was coming through the gate for some reason, either he was working out here or he's passing through from the neighboring subdivision. But when we're driving around town, and if we happen to see something similar to that, if you photograph it, we can most certainly match it up to our photographs and see if it's the same car.
So the lesson here is, if you see vehicles sitting across the street, I know you want to leave, but you know, some of the problem is people who are leaving, hitting the gate fob is literally letting other people get in. A couple times we've had people sitting at the gate that are Uber Eats, and they're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And so, you know, it's costing all of us money to keep replacing these gates, and some of it the landowners can help by being careful who you let in, who you don't let in.
So were you saying that if their food's cold when they get it, they were sitting at the gate?
The license plate wasn't caught. They drove so fast, couldn't see it. And they were coming in. And so it was Florida plates. And then when we get down to the biz agenda, I've got the information on the bids for replacing the fence and the bids for striping the roads, and also the issue of approval for the goals and objectives for fiscal 2025-2026. That's it.
Okay, moving forward. I don't have anything this evening for a chair's report, so we have a treasurer's report.
Well, we have received all of the invoices now for last fiscal year, and everything has been updated, and I'm beginning to send all of the reports over to the auditors and working with them so we can get the audit completed for 24-25 fiscal year. Other than that, my question is, should I go ahead and send out the invoice to the Brooks for our annual that we charge them for canal?
We do that every year.
Just go ahead and send it out once the fiscal year starts. Then?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have at this moment.
Thank you.
And the property taxes have already started getting collected. I've received mine, so I'm sure other people have too. And yeah, we're starting to get those in. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Attorney's report.
Yes, sir. Two items. First, Mr. Solucci mentioned about the having received information on the striping of the road and also on the fence project, and he forwarded those responses to me, the RFP that was issued, and then the responses back to me, and I've looked at those, and those are all in order for the board to be able to make a decision this evening. When that item comes up, or those items come up. Also, item number two is Mr. Edenfield earlier mentioned about the creation of a policy to cap the administrative fees to be paid to FGCU at a 10% number. it's my understanding that needs to take effect today so that Mr. Edenfield can proceed with the completion of that contract with FGCU. And so, Mr. Chairman, to do that, you would need to add that item, authorize creation of a policy, as item number G, 11G, when it comes time to amend the meeting agenda, which is the next item on your agenda. So that's my report.
Thank you, sir. Number 9, amendments to the meeting agenda.
We just did. G.
Okay.
No, it was not done. I asked you if you wanted to, but under item 9, Mr. Chairman, it would be a motion to amend the agenda to add the policy creation.
FGCU?
Yes, sir, for FGCU.
Okay. Putting a motion on the floor to add an item of FGCU policy during the, we bring that down to the actual...
It would be item 11G.
Right. Okay. So putting a motion on the floor to move that to 11G.
One second.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Public input. Business agenda items only. 3 minutes. Anybody? Moving forward. Business agenda items. Agenda items requiring action. Meeting minutes approval for September 15th, 2025.
No.
No, sir. October 20th.
October.
Well, you gave it to me. Okay. That's why mine wasn't aligning with what was being said. Okay. I'm going to start over.
October 20th.
Meeting minutes approval for October 20th, 2025 board meeting.
I'll put a motion on the floor to approve the meeting minutes for October 20th, 2025 board meeting.
Aye. Motion carries. Financial reports approval. 10-31-25 bank statements and 10-31-25 financial reports.
I'll put a motion on the floor to approve the financial reports for 10-31-2025 bank statements and financial reports.
I second that.
Aye. Motion carries. C, iFiber representative to discuss next steps on construction of fiber optics. Is he here this evening?
No, he called me and I have a little summary to do because he has COVID, so, which is nice that he didn't come. Construction of all the streets will be completed by the end of November 2025. So you see all these guys making these holes and digging. They're going to start pulling fiber now, which is coming up from Kakasho. It'll come across into under the canal and then come back up into our district. They're going to begin lighting up, meaning putting light through the fiber during late December and most of January. So by the end of January or sooner, the neighbor will be lit up with the fiber. Complete all systems by the end of February for people to purchase if they, of course, want to purchase the iFi fiber internet connection. Arlington Electric, one of the landowners, Ron, who lives on Mountain View, has been helping out other landowners here, and they're paying him privately. If people have, say, a barn in the back, a second building, and want to get internet to that building in the back, he's doing the conduit work and helping bring the Cat 6 connections back there so you have internet connections in a building in the back. Because the deal we made with iFi Fiber is they bring it to your house for free. They bring the wire to your house for free. If you want to take it from your house into a second building, that's on you. And Arlington's been helping. And actually, iFi Fiber told me Arlington Electric's pricing is cheaper than any of the subs they have. So if you want to talk to Ron at Arlington Electric, who's on Mountain View, he'll be happy to help you with that. That's it.
Okay. Next on the agenda, fencing project, discussion and options. John, I guess this is a...
Back to me. All right.
Back to you.
So, we have three bids plus the material bids. And what we have is SunState Fence, which was at $45,000. We have Mule Fence, or Fence Mule Company, at $28,000. And then Zavara Fence Company at $27,000. Now, of those three companies, believe it or not, Fence Mule was far more professional than Zavara. So they broke out in detail all what they're going to do step by step. Zavara just said it's this much money and that's it. So I didn't feel really comfortable, but at least they bid. So if I had to make a recommendation, it's going to be Fence Mule Company based on their professionalism and how they...
And how much was their bid?
There was 28. Okay. Now, if we do it ourselves, which is one of the areas that Maurice, who was here last month, said he would volunteer to help. Calling Tibbetts Lumber, which is one of the cheaper places, it's around $16,000.
Everybody awake now?
Somebody's touching something.
I think it's because you're in the middle and it's picking up on both mics.
Tibbetts Lumber is around $16,000 just for the lumber. And if we do the work and everybody volunteers, then we have to rent probably at least two dumpsters, which will be about $695 for 40-yard dumpsters times twice. And of course, all then the volunteers to remove all the material. So you're probably talking about $18,000 versus $28,000. So about a $10,000 differential between us doing the work and having a third party company do. All parties that presented the bids indicated the work would be done in 3 to 4 days. And they remove all the old materials, including the posts, and put in all new posts and all split rails. So really it's up to the board to decide, do you want the logistics of ordering the materials ourselves and then do it over a period of time? Because I don't see we're gonna get 5 straight days of volunteers, but maybe we will. And then all the logistics of moving the materials around, or give it to a third party company. So
that's it. You guys are talking about digging that out to 12 foot deep up there. Won't you be required to put an 8-foot fence around the 12 foot deep hole? So are we wasting our money? An engineer question. I think the city code calls for that.
Okay. One thing I do have to say, this is not open to the public at the moment. So would you please
address that?
Thank you.
Okay. I think it's wise to address that. I think that obviously we don't have to double spend, right? For anyone that didn't hear the question, it was when we come around to the water control plan that's being outlined in the future, if we dig that to be a wet retention pond, by code will we have to address that and make sure we have a proper fence there at the time?
If required.
Permission for Ron Edenfield to speak on this?
Yeah.
Since we haven't gotten to the point of designing that cross section yet, I would anticipate that cross section would have a safe width, a safe bank established, as well as proper slopes, and more than likely a littoral shelf around the perimeter of that, which would be a flatter area before it went off into the depth of the pond. So, you know, safety will be a cornerstone of the design on that. So,
thank you.
Along those lines, I think there's also another thing that we could probably discuss, you know, basically, you know, that makes me think of the fact that do we need a fence along the whole linear length of the dry retention pond at this time? You know, maybe we could pretty up the front of it, right, and then leave off some of it, maybe reduce the cost for total fence needed.
Put a hedge around it.
Well, hedges cost money too. So. But, you know, I don't know if there's other options we have available to us. But under the current kind of proposal of, you know, 28 versus 18, I think I would lean towards doing it personally if we had volunteers following up on this. Unfortunately, Maurice isn't here today, so that kind of highlights the fact that, you know, we need consistent volunteers who are going to lead it well. And if we don't have that, we can't rely on it. So
let me ask a question. Do we have anybody who would step up?
I mean, I've previously vocalized, you know, DNS land management has equipment and people we can lend our time to. It's just getting everybody to align and kind of scoping out, like, what do we want to do?
I'll if you'll volunteer to chair it, I'll step up and help you.
Sorry, what's that?
I absolutely will if Maurice is not.
Okay, so if Maurice...
overstep him.
No, but if he's discontinued his help... then if you're going to chair it, I'll step up and help you do that, and we'll get people together and get it done. And I happen to agree with what James just said. Why don't we take it as an idea? We already have on the right-hand side the fence running behind the sign on Strike Lane, and it runs a parallel with Strike Lane down a few hundred feet. Continue that to Red Robin on the right side. Then come back on the left side and do about the same angle of an opening, including the trees, tree line, and go down to Red Robin.
Eric Von Dahr or Eric Church?
So then discontinue all the rest of the fencing around the ponds. The fencing was put there back when, just after the roads were built, and it was designed to keep the four-wheelers out. The fencing does not provide anything to keep kids out of it. It's actually more of a hazard because of the way that a kid can climb up on it, or a person can climb up on it. The kind of fencing that's there was never designed to hold the weight of people, and if it breaks and they get hurt. So as far as hazards go, the ponds are never deep enough with water to create a hazard for anybody drowning in one. If we have a hazard with that, we most certainly have one with our canal system around the outside. So I would suggest that maybe we do a decorative style fence as an entrance way to the subdivision, which would be much less of a cost. And we might just spend a few thousand dollars doing that versus these others. I would also suggest that if we elect to go this direction, that if we can't accomplish the task, that maybe if you give me permission, then we would hire one of the second contractors or one of the two, three contractors to, but I would eliminate the high one right now, but hire one of those contractors to do the same design that we just talked about. Did you understand the design?
So I guess the question would be, you know, is the total cost then a ratio of the linear feet of fence, which I assume it would be, right?
No, that's what I would suspect.
Maybe some extra overhead for the contract that's not quite linear, but close. So I think the only thing we would need to know is what ratio of fence we're actually building. Is that 50%, 75%? The reduction?
I would think we'd be down to about 1/5 of what we were talking about, because we were doing all the way around on North Strike Lane, on Red Robin, and I'm sorry, I forgot the name of the next road down.
Rotus.
So we were doing a complete circle around that. And then years ago, the board already voted to discontinue putting, the year I got on the board voted to discontinue putting fence on North Strike Lane anyway. And it's been being eliminated ever since on North Strike Lane. Mm-hmm. So that decision was made years ago.
All right. And I mean, under that information, so long as it stays under the existing, I guess, $18,000 cost for lumber and material, you know, obviously that's an estimate from the managers estimating extra $2,000 for dump trucks and things like that. So under that 18, I think if we do that and we do it, we have volunteers stepping up to do it, then I'd like to give that a shot at least. I know I'll volunteer my time. Sure, we can get more people involved too, but it's a matter of making sure it gets scheduled in a timely manner and completed on a timely manner.
I'd like to interject here and just remind everybody that on the retention ponds, call it the western one and the eastern one, when you come around Red Robin as well as you come around Rotus, you have the concrete culverts that drain between the ponds. And I think it behooves us to have the fence at least wrapped there, each of those areas, to be a somewhat of a deterrent to prevent cars from driving over and getting stuck on the concrete. Maybe the northern side of both those retention ponds, you can take those out, and that'll definitely lower the cost. But I would say you need straight line down from the railroad tracks, and like a backwards J, and protect that western one, and the eastern retention, it's like a letter U, and protect that. I'm concerned about those concrete culverts where people driving into them.
Why don't we put up a couple posts there and put reflectors on them?
Okay.
I think the trouble with that is that's more information we have to kind of gather and bid in order to make it a final decision.
We've got a number of places along in our subdivision that cars could access If you go to Golden Eagle or any road coming off of there, you have those same culverts right and left-hand sides of the road, and there's no protective fences there. So why does this one section become a problem?
I'm not sure.
Well, every single road in the subdivision coming off of the north side onto Strike Lane has a culvert pipe under it, and there's no protective fences anywhere along our entire road system.
Are these ones particularly bigger, John?
Mm-hmm. Deeper, bigger.
Okay.
How long has that fence been there? When was it originally
from the beginning
installed?
From 20 years ago. Or whenever the fences were put in.
Just about the time of the road project.
I mean, it's not
you're
really,
definitely
it's not
gonna
really
lower.
A deterrent, right? Like, it's, you know, as you discussed, they're falling over. If a car hits it, they're going in anyways, right? But
true, but then our liability is less because
right.
the fence was there to prevent you from driving in.
Agreed on that front.
Mr. Chairman,
but regardless, I think, you know, the community project, if we can keep it under 18, we actually have, you know, leadership here, volunteers who are going to run this thing beginning to end. Then I'd be for that. If we don't have enough people stepping up consistently to actually make it happen, then I'd rather just see it done, right? So
why don't we give it a time frame of a couple of weeks or till the first week in December, and if we can't muster up everybody to get them going, we'll go to Plan B.
Okay. So if it's not at least under in progress with a plan by next board meeting, we'll elect to move forward with the next.
I would suggest that, you know, okay, next board meeting's fine.
The problem with that is these people, both the road striping and the fencing contractors, they're all saying they're a little slow in December. January, they're getting in a queue with a lot of other customers. So if we drag this out and don't get moving in December with them, we may not get this done till February, March, or even later. And maybe the bid won't hold. It'll be past the 30 days, exactly.
30 days. When did we receive them?
November 4th.
So, I mean, Jim, I think that's a, you know, a decision that, you know, do you get a plan together with volunteer help in order to at least have something by December 4th? Otherwise, like, we might need to take the bid and run with it.
Yeah. I personally think it'll happen. I'm not that concerned with it. So I don't think we'll be going to Plan B.
Okay. I mean, I'm okay with that if you're going to help assist volunteers.
And the attorney would like to say something.
I'm getting antsy. So you could have a motion that would authorize the volunteer effort, if that all checks out and works, within a time frame, I believe I heard mentioned earlier, the first week of December.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the time that the other proposals are also good. And if it doesn't work out, the motion could then say, if that doesn't work, then the authority is to proceed with Plan B, having the contractor do the work, give the chair the authority to do one first, and if that doesn't work by December 4th, then do Plan B. You can give that alternative authority. That's my point.
Okay.
You can give alternative authority to the chair to do that, those two steps.
Okay.
If that's the board's desire.
Then I would, yes, it is. I think so. So I'll put a motion on the floor to approve the voluntary effort to at least have a plan in progress and under a plan to commence before December 4th. If it's in place, then the volunteer effort can move forward. If not, we'll also give the conditional authority to the chair to move forward with the, I believe it is the bid from Fence Mule at $28,000.
And what I could do is, we could have, in case we go to Plan B, I'm going to have to go measure what you're talking about, the north side of west retention and the north side of east retention ponds. That lineal footage is going to come out, whether it's ordered from Tibbetts Lumber or the contractor is going to put it in. So either way, the bids are going to go lower, material costs and also fence mule.
Right. So I think the condition here is that we're at or under the bids that have been proposed to us tonight.
Correct.
So if fence mule comes in under 28K because we reduced the linear feet, then you know, I think that it remains under the motion I just put forward.
Okay.
You second it.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. The next agenda item is the road striping. And we had four bids that came in on the RFP. One was a little ridiculous. DMI was $116,000. So I'm not sure what they were smoking, but something funny. The second bid came in was, where is the company? Hayward Holdings Paving Contractors, and they were $57,608, and they met all the specs in the bid, qualification. The next bid came in was Southern Striping Company, and they are a moment. Let's put the pricing in different places. They were at $61,195, and they were a qualified company. And then the third one is McShay Striping, which actually did this.
This would be fourth.
This would be the fourth one, McShay Striping, who actually did the striping 21 years ago when the roads were paved. And they ended up being the cheapest at $50,491, and they're familiar with the roads. They've already done them once before. So of all the bids, I recommend, of course, McShay not only be the low bidder, but also they're familiar with the roads. The other people are not.
Do you know if they were all using the same kind of products and using reflective in the striping?
Yes, that's all in the RFP.
Okay.
Yes. Just a question.
What was the original approved amount that we had from the previous round of bids?
Last year,
that was approved, right? That was part of the discussion.
Either 33 or 38,000, but that was painting, not thermoplastic. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more striping now because now we're saying add in Stillwell, add in the first 100 feet of the side roads, put in the white bar stripes against the stop signs. Okay. And these people, McShay is the only one that actually offered it as part of their bid. The others did not. It was an option. McShay is going to also put the yellow reflectors down the center of the road, which is really good at night.
Mm-hmm. The only reason I ask is I think the discussion we had last time was like if the bids came in at or under, then we gave authority to move forward. So mm-hmm. obviously it's not at or under. Mm-hmm. We're saying that the RFP also changed scope.
So correct. We're needing an approval.
Okay. Do you, in your report, what was the increase in quantity?
Probably 10 to 15%.
At least 15%. Yeah.
At least that.
And the cost of materials are up from a year later.
Okay. I mean, it's not unreasonable, right? So, the top end was 38K, an increase of $4,000, 42, 50 grand's not that much more expensive. Seems to check out to me.
Mm-hmm. You want to put a motion on the floor?
If we're all sort of already in agreement.
I'm agreement.
All right.
I'm in agreement.
I'd like to put a motion on the floor to move forward with the McShay striping for the bid at $50,000 for the striping project.
I second that.
$50,491 is what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Specifically $50,491.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. I second it.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right. I'll contact them tomorrow. Now, they're going to do it sometime in December, according to my conversations with them. I'm sure when they're doing it, it's going to be somewhat of a hindrance because they're going to have the cones. They're going to be, you know, a lot of one lane area. And so just be patient. I don't think it'll take that long once they do it. If you've been on a highway when they're striping and stuff, try to keep your car away from the striping because it will go on your car.
And we're paying for it.
Yeah.
Leave it where it's at.
Yeah. And that paint's very tough to come off.
I will jokingly ask, do we have any volunteer efforts to oversee this? Anyone have any paint rollers they want to bring out?
Okay. See, that's not working.
I'd like to clarify, too. If it comes in less, then that's okay.
Well, sure. It's always okay.
Well,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Just need to say not to exceed.
Okay. Not to exceed.
Yes. I think we all agree on that.
Okay.
Mr. Pringle, do we need a different motion to amend our motion?
No, sir. All right. You hadn't called the question yet.
Okay, then. Right. The strike.
We did vote
yeah,
for,
we did.
I'm sorry. We if did. You did vote for it, then yes, you need
right.
to amend it. Yes.
Okay.
I will
put a motion on the floor.
Yeah, repeat this again. We'll put a motion on the floor to approve that we move forward with McShay striping at or under the quoted bid of $50,491.
I second that.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. F, approval of 2025-2026 goals, objectives, performance, measures, and standards.
Essentially, this is the same operational goals that the water district should have every year, with one exception, the amended water control plan. That is a goal that we should put in there and set a time and an objective to have a landowners meeting for approval of the amended water control plan.
I will put a motion on the floor to approve the 2025-26 goals, objectives, performance measures, and standards.
Everything's the same as approved last year, except now we added the water control plan.
Okay. I second that. Okay.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay.
Quick now, question, do we know when that meeting would need to be?
It's going to be somewhere in the spring.
James.
What?
What do you need?
Check. Oh.
Checks. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And as you're signing the checks, I'll probably remind everybody, make sure you take a look at what's the second page where the bills are.
Yep.
Before you sign the checks.
We saw G on the business agenda items.
Yes,
you saw G.
FGC your contract?
I'm getting there. So,
the new one. We amended it.
Would you like to give us the word? Okay. 11G, authorized policy to cap 10% for administration costs for the FGCU contract.
Now, to take effect immediately.
To take effect immediately.
I would like to ask a question there. Is that limited to FGCU, or is that a policy we should take on all things that we do?
This is for FGCU on
specifically.
Others may have other standards that I wouldn't want to put you into a conflict with other contracts.
But essentially, we're a not-for-profit. FGC is a not-for-profit. Mm-hmm. So that's how we're trying to limit that.
Yeah, okay. James, and if you made this a blanket thing for all, then we would have to go back and amend this policy at a time after we're already in a contract with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just curious if we should put other things in there so that we don't actually have to vote on them like one by one, right? Is there a category of contracts we work with that could fall under this umbrella?
It's very difficult to describe all the different situations that might arise, and that's why Mr. Edenfield was talking about this one being tailored specifically to the FGCU arrangement so that we can, because he's ready to begin the contract negotiations with FGCU, but to have the 10% cap, we have to adopt this policy before those officially begin. And so that's why all of a sudden we are adding this item tonight. I don't like to add items to your agenda, but I believe this one does need to be specific to FGCU so that we can get this done timely.
Okay. All right, so I mean, we're just giving approval for you to write a policy that caps it at 10%, and Mr. Edenfield gives the authority to bring it to them.
Yes,
under the pretense that it will be written.
Yeah, it limits how much of our money he can spend.
Right. And the motion would be for me to prepare the policy to put the cap at 10% administrative fee on the agreement with FGCU to take effect immediately and to authorize the chair to sign the policy.
And then once it's signed, I can move forward.
Yes, sir. So we'll get all that done right away.
Right. I guess the only thing that I'm thinking about is like, I mean, I don't know if we'd even have a case where this would come up anyways, but again, if we could put the categorization that FGCU falls under, you know, work with other nonprofits, that we cap admin fees at 10% or under.
If
so we don't have to write new policy in the future.
If we were to do that, I would say that the category would be educational institutions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that category, we might be able to use that category. In talking with Mr. Edenfield this afternoon, right before the meeting, my concern was that if, as an example, with a grant with some other government agency, if they had an administrative fee of 12%, and we have written this policy so broadly that it captures them as well, if I don't recall, or if Mr. Edenfield doesn't recall that we have this policy in the books, then we could have some issue that we would not want to have in the future. So I think if we say, I think it would be okay to broaden it to mm-hmm. educational institutions, or I think that phrase would work, and then we could be a little bit broader, but not so broad as to get us into trouble on other matters with okay. other government agencies. And if that's okay,
if it was up to me, that's what I would like to see. That way, you know, let's say we switch to some other school that happens to be right. doing it, then it falls in the same category, and if we can get it approved, they can move forward without more authorizations and more voting and more policy writing.
Good call. You want to put a motion on the floor? Right.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
I'm on.
All right, then I would like to put a motion forward in order to cap contract admin fees with a broad yet restrictive enough terms such as educational institutions at a cap of 10% admin fees.
I second that.
Aye. Motion will carry. Mm-hmm. Does that work for what you believe we need?
I believe it will. I believe that will take care of it.
That, and we talked about, but I did not hear, but the chair is also authorized to sign that policy right now.
Would you like me to add that to the motion?
Yeah, yes. It'll need to be added.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Then I will try to say this better and more concise the second time. I will put a motion on the floor for us to approve that Mr. Pringle can write a policy that restricts our work with educational institutions for an admin fee of 10%. This will also give the authority to the chair in order to approve said policy document prior to the next board meeting.
And to sign the contract.
And to sign the contract.
With FGC. And sign the contract? Mm-hmm. Is that also part
yes.
of it?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Jennifer.
Effective immediately.
Effective immediately, yes.
Effective immediately.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
Jennifer. Again.
Jeez.
Before I say this and put the hammer down, are we good? Aye. Motion carries. You know, we do work through these things.
Someone's got to write this down ahead of time.
Okay. Anything else on the agenda items? Because it looks like we're done there.
No, sir.
Public input, 3 minutes. Anybody?
Douglas Clark, Sunny Lane. I just wanted to reach out and say if we're going to do this fencing project, if anybody's interested in contributing time to that, please reach out to me. Also, if anybody else knows how to get in contact with Maurice, they've heard of this previously, to contact names of volunteers and people interested, if we could get in contact with him as well, or if anybody knows him, we'll try and
okay.
get everybody.
And we also had a signed-up sheet last month, and I hope that everybody who signed up last month is still on board for doing what the parts that they volunteered for last month. Then we'll move forward with this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Anybody who can't get a hold of Douglas, get a hold of me. I'll get the information to Douglas, and we'll work together on this as a team. We'll get this done. Okay? Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Yeah, a question on this performance objectives and measures. So this is the second year. So I'm curious about self-assessment for the previous fiscal year. Has that been completed, available?
It's completed, it's on the website.
It is on the website?
Yes. It's yeses to everything.
Good. I looked the other day and it wasn't there, so I haven't. I'm curious how you did on public records.
Excuse me?
The public records was a golden objective. Public records, number one, was the goal and objective met?
The board approved the goals, so obviously they were met.
So I would assume the way I read this, since it's titled public records, that would be in compliance with chapter 119. So I would suggest that perhaps you're not so compliant with chapter 119. For example, after the September 28, 2024 election, I put a records request in for the public records, the election records, on October 4th, about 4 days later. I did not get those records until August of 2025, more than 10 months. 119 says prompt. Like anybody's definition of prompt would not include the span of 10 months. So I would suggest that maybe reconsider whether you met that goal. And by the way, the punchline, I don't know who knows this, I've had these records since, I think, August 10th. Has anybody looked at those records? Because somebody up here must know. Those records that you gave me show that it was not a 201 to 158 count. In fact, the records show that I won the election. So you can laugh. What do I do about it? I don't know. I've been sitting on this for a couple months. I don't know what to do. Nobody knows what to do about it. It very well may be that you're allowed. I'm not accusing anybody. I don't know. Somebody must know. So it may be that the Florida Election Commission chapters 96 to 104.
David, your time's up.
We are outside that system.
Thank you.
Thank you for your feedback.
So, nobody's curious? That's it? Okay. So that now...
Thank you for your feedback.
The cat's out of the bag.
Thank you, David. Anybody else like to speak?
Norm Kay, I live on the beautiful Cock Robin Lane for 33 years. That makes no difference to somebody who's lived out here for 6 months. But I do want all the residents of San Carlos Estates to understand. In the past, there's been a lot of complaints about a line item on the budget involving the attorney. And the reason for that is Mr. Nadig bringing up lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. He needs to understand this is not the House of Representatives. This is not the Senate. This is San Carlos Estates Water District. It's the people of our community that are paying those attorney fees. And nothing disgusts me more than thinking about David Nadig climbing into my wallet. Thank you for your time.
Still public input. Anybody have anything?
I just wanted to make a comment.
You need to please come up to the microphone. Please speak into it.
My name is Tony, and I live in Catskill. My comment is different from what they're discussing now. We'll be talking again about the fancy project I'm ready to help in any about the project. And also, you drive around, you will see that I already clean every single post around the fence, and also I clean near the post too.
I did see that. Okay. Nice job.
Okay, and also maybe some of the posts has to be relocated because other native tree have been growing between the posts. So I already start doing working in the project, so I just want to let you know.
Thank you very much. And by the way, Tony has always stepped up to the plate when it comes to projects around the neighborhood.
Yeah. Just wanted to bring it to people's attention on this iFiber. Mr. Edenfield told us that we're responsible for anything that does happens to our water lines. I checked with BSU, that is correct. Pass your backflow preventer, you're on your own. So when these guys are digging up through there and you get a nick in that line, we've got one of these fellows, I don't know if he's here tonight, over a $5,000 water bill, not from iFiber, but he had a break in his line and wasn't there. It came out of his bank account because he had it hooked up to his bank account. So you might want to be on the ball when these guys are digging that iFiber up by your water line, because they got a lot of them going right where the water line is. So if they hit your water line and it's leaking, it comes out of your pocket. Yes, you don't give a crap. Next question, who's overseeing this iFiber along Lucy Drive? It looks like shit. They put one row of sod around it. We've got a 20-foot area that's all dug up.
Well,
as we just gouged up in front of my house, I got pictures of the trench there from the machine sitting in it. It's still there. Now I got to go and call them and tell them we're paying. How much are we paying the manager? That's another question I have. These paperwork you gave us here, your budget and all that, doesn't show what you pay him or her. You got that hidden in there for some reason. But if we're paying him, why isn't he driving around looking for this shit? That's it.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay, anybody else? Look at there. You almost snuck up there on us.
My name's Carol Stadnick, and I live on Red Robin Drive. I'm just asking once again if something can be done about the signs on Bonita Bill and Rodas saying no trespassing, and the gentleman has put up a green plastic fence, and that's been there for quite over a year, because I brought this up once before, because there's a lot of us that walk around the blocks in our community, and a while back he yelled at me and screamed at me, and I don't think that it's right that he should block off that.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll look into it.
So what are we paying those guys? Why is that a secret? Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you're not up. You had your 3 minutes.
I asked you, you didn't answer me. You looked at me like I was stupid.
It's not a question and answer time. You get to give us your input.
I get to ask a question, right? So.
Supervisor's comments. Supervisor's comments.
All right, as far as the supervisor comments, I did write down a couple things. With respect to the I-5 fiber comments, I think I would like to bring up one thing just for the sake of our district members. Like to remind you that the damaged pasture line, as has been noted, is your responsibility, so please take pictures. I think there's some information on their website, and there's also the gentleman, contact I-5 Fiber, write him an email. If you need their contact information, reach out. We'll give it to you if you can't find it yourself. But they are responsible to take care of that stuff. So I just encourage everyone to note it like you encourage. So appreciate that for bringing it up again. As far, you know, that's especially the water bill damage. I think you can submit that to them and have that conversation with them. Unfortunately, we can't help you too much, but I'd encourage you to do that. Does that work?
Okay. I just need to remind you, this is supervisor's comments.
Okay. Does that work for you?
Works for me.
All right. Excellent. As far as it looking like, crap. I tend to agree. We have the same problem on Pinson. Well, they've just thrown down some sod.
And we've had this discussion, yep. And by the time they finish the project, they're supposed to come around and regrade and do all of the work and all of the ditches,
yep.
Everywhere they've been.
So it's in their license agreement to do that.
Yes. And the permit for the work they've had to do. So we will make sure that, you know, I'm fairly certain the manager has in fact driven around, looked at things, and we will generate the report on completion and get it to them, make sure that they fulfill their obligations.
They've been doing some touch-up work to try to make it look a little better till they complete the project.
Yep.
And when the manager goes around and inspects any impact to the swales or the canals, I-5 fiber is noted for that. However, the manager is not responsible for their actual work. We have no responsibility for how they're doing their work. That's their work. If they impact the swales and the canals and they're down too low in the swales, we've told them, bring it back up.
Yep. Or take it down, whatever it happens to be. But that's where our program is. Okay. Anything else, James?
Yeah, actually, I'm curious. I know this might incorporate Ron a little bit too, but FGCU has some requirements for their students to do voluntary work in the community.
That was how we got started.
That's how we got
this program.
Started.
Okay.
For the last year, it's been volunteer. Now, gotta start paying.
Every year, they have students that need volunteer work to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to why it's gone from
zero to this.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how we get started with them.
Okay. And then perhaps in the future, I know that their software engineering departments often require them to do senior projects. It could be fun to incorporate them a little bit more into some, you know, sensor type work that I've kind of discussed in the past, you know, to collect data and write up a little website app that collects it, monitors it, reports on stuff. Could be fun to do. But it'd be nice to utilize their resources more because, again, to graduate, they have to volunteer to do a bunch of work, and they have are obligated to do a senior project.
A lot like nursing students and stuff.
Yeah, in a way. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I suggest once we have a contract in place, Ron and I can bring you over there. You can talk to the professors and see if they have some volunteer IT students and begin that as a program.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. So that'd be great.
Okay.
I'd have to look through my past emails, but I used to...
I may have some as well. I can
throw
contacts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, anything else?
I'm certain Serge would appreciate that.
Last thing, just to make note of, I want to make sure everyone realized part of the discussion last month was to print out the financial reports and everything. And, you know, thanks, Chanel, for printing those off and making sure they're available to our members here.
And I believe that we wanted to make sure they know that they're all online now.
Not online yet.
No. Well, they will be.
It is a goal of ours
to
put them online. But right now, in the meantime, we'll print them out, at least a small set of them for the meetings until we can do that.
Okay. Yep. Anything?
No, that's it for me.
Anything else?
Yeah.
You sure?
Covered.
Meeting is now adjourned.